Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Since today's Father's Day, I decided to kind of take a little break from our series. We've been walking through the book of Acts, our series titled The Force Awakens, and we've been kind of walking through that. But I figured we would kind of take a little break today. And we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 2. And while this scripture isn't written specifically to fathers, I think that there are some great words of wisdom that can definitely be applied to fatherhood. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can read along with me. We're going to read 1 Thessalonians 2, but we're going to read just verses 8 through 12. This is what it says. It says, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into His kingdom and His glory." Now, in these few verses, I want to point out four things that I really believe God desires from each of us, okay? Whether you're a father or not, but because it's Father's Day, I'm going to share it in this way. I'm going to share four characteristics of a godly father, okay? If you're not a father, you can say four characteristics of a godly person, okay? But because it's Father's Day, I'm focusing on that angle this morning. And so the first characteristic of a godly father is this: a godly father expresses genuine love. A godly father expresses genuine love. Notice what Paul says in verse 8. It says, "We loved you so much." Now, in the original language, these words express an intense kind of love. You know, not just kind of a one-time or passive kind of love, not the kind of love that we have for chocolate or In-N-Out cheeseburgers, okay? That's not the kind of love that we're talking about here, but a deep, caring, continuous kind of love, the kind of love that gives over and over again. Now, some of you are like, "Well, that's the kind of love I have for chocolate and In-N-Out burgers over and over again," right? But we're talking about that human love that just gives over and over again. And I think this is an important characteristic for fathers, because expressing love doesn't always come naturally for men. And I don't know what it is, but for some reason it doesn't always come naturally. And I think this is why the Bible tells husbands especially, specifically, right, to love their wives. Because it's not always natural for us to have that genuine love. You see, for women, expressing genuine love often just comes naturally. Women are naturally more nurturing. Now, I know that's not true of every person here and there, every man, every woman, but women are naturally more nurturing. A great example of this is when parents have their first child, right? You know, oftentimes the new dad is kind of like the fish out of water, right? He's trying to figure out how to hold the baby, right? It's like, "Wait here, what, you know, here, how do I do this," right? You know, trying to figure out how to hold the baby, trying not to break it, right? And it looks awkward at times, while mothers, you know, they just have this natural instinct to take the child in and to coddle the baby, right? This nurturing instinct. And then, you know, when the baby first starts to cry, dad starts what? Freaking out, right? "What's wrong? What do I do? There's something wrong with him. What do I do?" You know, and starts freaking out. "Here, you take it," you know, right? Kind of thing. You tracking with me here, right? Well, moms, you know, they're just like, oh, he's just hungry, or he needs his can't you smell that? Come on, he just needs his diaper changed, right? Moms just naturally kind of understand these things. And the reality is, for us men, we often have to learn these things. But if we take time to learn, if we take time to work through our awkwardness, we begin to enjoy, right? We begin to enjoy holding our children. We begin to enjoy expressing love. We love playing with them, you know. We love watching them laugh, right? You know, watch a dad and his baby. You know, you see and you're like, that dude's crazy, right? But it's what we do, you know. It's like in those moments, we love watching them laugh. We love to play with them and watch them laugh. And we love to those moments when we actually learn how to comfort them. Like, yeah, see, look, I got it down. He's quiet, you know. You start to kind of, you love to do that. And so my encouragement for fathers this morning is this, is to not stop, okay? Never stop telling your kids that you love them. Never stop showing them your love. Don't be afraid to hug your kids as they get older. Now, there may be an age where they push you away. Lord, Dad, you know, stop, you know. But don't ever stop doing it. Don't be afraid to show them your love. Because the love of a father is a very powerful thing. Genuine love in and of itself is a very powerful thing. When people feel loved and feel that love from others, it's a powerful thing. One of my favorite stories of love in the Bible is the story of the prodigal son. Now, many of you are familiar with the story. I know I've preached about this story a couple different times over the last couple years. It's just a powerful story. But if you're not familiar with the story, the son, he takes his father's inheritance. He asks for it early. I want my inheritance, right? And his father gives it to him. And what does he do? He takes all of his inheritance and he goes off to another country and he squanders it all away. And if you know the story, there's that point where he runs out of money. And now he's just like lost and in the middle of nowhere. And he ends up getting a job feeding pigs. And there's that moment where he's so hungry. He's so hungry that he would even eat the pig's food, you know? He's at that point where he's like, man, if I just eat the pig's food, right? It sounds good to him. And as he sits there, there's something that happens in his mind. I want to read to you from John 15, verse 17. This is what it says. It says, he came to himself. And he started thinking, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, I'm starving to death. I will set out and I will go back to my father. Now here's what I want you to notice, something important here with the prodigal son. He had just squandered his inheritance, right? That his father had given him. But he still felt that he could go back to his father. That's huge. Just the fact that he felt he could go back to his father. And why? Now, it doesn't tell us this, but we can guess from what we know of the father later in the story that it was probably because growing up, he expressed a genuine love for his son. His son had experienced that love. And because of that love, the son wasn't afraid to return to his father. Now, I imagine that the whole way home, he was kind of rehearsing what he was going to say, right? He was probably trying to think of, what do I tell my dad? How do I say it? How do I do it? How do I, you know, all those kind of thoughts. And he was probably rehearsing this whole thing. But before he could say anything, what happens? His father runs to him, wraps his arms around him, and plants a big kiss on the side of his cheek, right? This father had no problem expressing genuine love. And I think this is the kind of genuine love that God desires from us as fathers. And why does he want this kind of love for us? I think it's because it's the same kind of love that he gives to each of us, right? Our Father in heaven always leaves the door open for us to come home to him, right? He's always there just waiting. And before we can say, God, you know what? Before we can say anything, what does he do? He just wraps us in his arms and he pulls us in close to him. Even when we've left him and squandered our inheritance, even when we've turned our back on him, he continues to show us his love. And as dads, I think we need to learn how to express this kind of genuine love, because our kids need to know that no matter how deep their sin, no matter how much they fail, they're going to always be able to be loved by us. They're always going to be able to come to a father who will embrace them and show them his love. You know, I love VeggieTales did a version of the prodigal son. And it was something that became very important to our family. One of the things, when we go to bed at night, since our kids were little, we pray with them, and then we would sing them a song. And we used to sing the tree song, and we still sing that sometimes too, but after this VeggieTales movie came out, this video, we changed our song, and we started singing the song from this VeggieTales movie. And I'm not going to sing it to you, but I'm going to share with you the words of the main chorus, and this is what we sing. It says, I love you today. I love you tomorrow. I love you as deep as the sea. I love you in joy, and I love you in sorrow. You can always come home to me. And we sing that to our kids. And it's because we want it to be ingrained in our kids' heads that it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter if they fail. It doesn't matter their mistakes. No, do we want them to succeed? Yes. Do we want them to do well? Yes. But it doesn't matter what they can do. They can always come home. And we want them to know that. As fathers, we need to be expressing genuine love in a way that shows this to our kids, that regardless of what they do, we still love them. We may not condone what they're doing, right? But we still love them and care for them. The second characteristic we see in this verse is this: a godly father walks the walk. Okay? Paul writes in verse 8, we loved you so much that we delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And notice that there is a connection between gospel and lives. It's one thing to talk about the gospel, but it's another thing to live it out, to walk it. Now, I'm going to pick on my dad a little bit here, okay? And it's not really how he lived his life, but it's this phrase that he used to say. My dad used to use this phrase, and it was always in a joking manner, usually, right? When he was doing something that I was told I couldn't do, right? When we were told that it was wrong and we shouldn't do that. And when I would try to call him on that, he would respond by saying this: do as I say, not as I do. You guys ever heard that, right? Have you ever pulled that on your kids? Okay, I have to admit I probably have myself at times. You know, jokingly, I hope. But you know that phrase, do as I say, not as I do. Now, my dad was joking, but the reality is there's a lot of us in this world that operate in this way, right? We want our kids to do the right things, but we don't want to have to model it. Just do as I say, okay? Right? We don't want to have to model it for them. We don't want to have to show them. But here Paul is saying, when we lived among you, we not only told you the good news, we modeled it for you by how we live. That's what Paul is saying here. And as fathers, we have a responsibility to model the Christian life for our kids. That doesn't mean we have to be perfect. No. None of us are perfect. We're going to make mistakes. And it's okay to make mistakes, you know, especially as new parents and as we're growing in new aspects of parenthood, you know, because every year it's different. You know, you deal with the toddlers and then it works out, and teenagers, you know, you're going to make mistakes in how to resolve, because you can't treat a teenager the way you treat a toddler, right? You know, we have to learn. And so we're not going to be perfect, but we should be doing our best to be the example that God has called us to be, to set the example that He desires for us to set. The fact is if we call ourselves men of God, then our kids ought to know it by the way we live, right? They ought to know it by the way we live. You see, being a Christian should affect the decisions that we make every day, right? Being a Christian should make our decisions be different than the decisions of that of the world. And the values in our home as a Christian, the values that we have, should be different than those found in non-Christian homes. I've had many conversations with my kids about that. You know what? That's great. That's their family, and they have the right to choose. But as people who desire to serve God in our house, this is the way we're going to do things, right? Our values should be different. If we want to be godly fathers, we can't just talk the talk. We have to walk the walk. We need to be demonstrating what it looks like to live our lives for Christ. And that's the key of this point this morning. The third characteristic that we see in these verses is this. A godly father demonstrates a good work ethic. Paul says in verse 9, "You remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you." Now, no one could ever accuse Paul of not working hard, right? He knew what it meant to serve the Lord. He knew what it meant to lay down his life for the Lord. And I think we have a responsibility as parents to teach a good work ethic to our kids. Oftentimes, if our kids don't see a father who is a hard worker and who has a good work ethic, guess what? They won't learn to work hard. They won't have a good work ethic. And I think that there are two ways that we teach this to our kids. The first is we teach by example, right? By working hard ourselves and letting our children see that. Young kids, they desire to imitate their parents. And so if we demonstrate these work ethics, they will want to do them as well. Now, here's the thing. We demonstrate these work ethics with balance, okay? We're not talking about the cats in the cradle with a silver spoon, right? You know that song? That whole idea of the dad that works so hard he's never home and the kid never gets to see his father. When I say working hard, that's not what I'm talking about, right? I'm talking about working hard with a balance. That working hard for your family, but also being there for your family. And so if we can demonstrate these kind of work ethics, they'll begin to learn that example themselves. You know? How many young boys, as they grow up, they work hard and don't come home? Why? Because that's what their dad did. They worked hard and didn't come home to the family. And so we have to show that balance of good work ethic, but also showing the love for our family. And then secondly, and this one's important, we teach by allowing them to do it themselves. We have to give them the opportunity to try things, right? And with that, we have to allow them to make their own mistakes. We have to allow them to fail at times. And I know sometimes that's hard for us as parents. We just want to like come alongside them and make everything be perfect and right for them. But we have to let them make mistakes. We have to give them a safe place to fail. I loved our pastors in Newburgh when they first got there years ago. It was the first time we really kind of felt like it was just a safe place to fail. They were good with us trying new things and messing up. because we learn from our mistakes and we learn from our failures and we grow from it. And so we can do the same thing with our kids. We let them try. We let them work. We let them fail. We give them a safe place to fail. Some of you know that my wife, she's a proofreader. She proofreads for Harvest House Publishers out of Eugene. And years ago, she was proofreading a book, and I don't even remember what book it was about, but the lady that wrote this book, in the midst of it, I don't even know if the whole book was about this or she was just talking about this in the midst of her book, but this woman had raised two kids up to where they were graduating from high school. And then as they were about to be empty nesters around that time, oh, guess what? More kids on the way. And so they thought they were kind of done raising their kids. And so then they had pretty much, they ended up having two more kids. So they had another set of two kids. You know, these kids are gone and old, and now they're raising up new kids. And in this book, she talked about the difference in her kids. Because her first set of kids, she did everything for them. She covered them. If they mess up, she took care of it. If they forgot their homework from school, she took it to them. If they did this, oh, she made sure it happened, and she helped them and did all this stuff, and everything was easy for these kids. And she found that they struggled in life with keeping jobs. They struggled in life with following through on things, her older kids. So with her younger kids, she changed things. Her younger kids, there were consequences. If you forgot your homework, I didn't take it, and you had to pay for it. And the kids had these consequences that she didn't do everything for them. She didn't baby them and let them. She let them fall. She let them go through difficult times and situations, you know, with a covering, of course. Well, those kids, as they grew up, they had great jobs, and they worked well and worked into life so much easier. And it's this idea of the fact that we want to see our kids grow up with a good work ethic. We have to let them learn how to do it themselves. We can't do everything for them. We have to model it for them, and we have to give them that opportunity to learn for themselves. Now, the fourth, and I think really the most important characteristic we see in these verses is that a godly father operates in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's funny, as I was doing this, preparing this, you know, as I read through scriptures and as I look at points, there's things that come out. And in the last 3 months or so, we've had this point has come out like four times. It's been, and I'm like, man, is it okay to do this point again? And it's like, well, yes, it's there. And I think it's important because I think God's trying to say something to us about the fact that we are called to be people who operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's important that we do. Paul says in verse 10, "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed." Now those words, he says, that they're holy, righteous, and blameless. Those are pretty bold words to claim about yourself, isn't it? Right? But Paul can say this not because he's those things on his own. He can say those because Christ in him makes him holy, righteous, and blameless. It's the Holy Spirit alive in him. And as he operates in the power of the Holy Spirit, that he's able to live out these things. And the same holds true for us. You've heard me say it before. Christ in us. The Holy Spirit in us makes us the hope of glory. And for us fathers, it makes us the father that God has called us to be when we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. God has commissioned us as fathers to be spiritual leaders in our families. And we will either lead our families closer to God, or we'll push them farther away from God. And we know God's called us to push them closer to Him, right? He's called us to lead them to Him. And the only way that we can do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because on our own, we're going to fail. On our own, we're going to mess up. On our own, we're going to push them in the wrong direction. But through the power of the Holy Spirit alive in us, we can be holy, righteous, and blameless. And we can be the men of God that He's called us to be. We have to seek Him daily, though. We have to give Him control. That's the key to that. Operating in the power of the Holy Spirit means we get out of the way and we let God have control of our life. We let God help us be who He's called us to be. And the reality is, if we don't do this one, if we don't do number four, we won't be able to do 1 through 3, right? Because it's when we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to express genuine love, right? It's when we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to walk that walk. We're able to do the things that God's called us to do. It's when we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to demonstrate a good work ethic, where we work hard because God has given us the strength to do it, and it's because it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to do these things that He's called us to do. Now again, as I said, because it's Father's Day, I directed this message towards fathers. But as I said at the beginning, these four points are really for all of us, right? Because whether you are a father or not, we all need to learn to express genuine love. We all need to walk the walk that God's called us to walk. We all need to demonstrate a good work ethic. We all need to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because doing these things will help all of us become the men or women that God has called us to be. Now, I want to say one last thing before I pray this morning, because as you hear these things, I know, even myself, as you hear these things, you just realize how short you fall as a man of God, as a father, right? Of being the godly father that God's called you to be. And maybe as you hear these things, maybe some of you have grown kids and you're sitting thinking, man, I messed it up. Right? I mean, many of us, we walk through those things, and that's what I just want to encourage you in this way is, and you've heard me say this before, we can't change the past, okay? But we can change the future. And maybe if you felt like, man, I didn't do what I could have done. I wasn't the father that I should have been. Or maybe even in this moment, you think, man, I messed up many times. Well, now's the time to start changing, right? Now's the time to start working and learning how to have a genuine love. How to do the best that you can to be the kind of father that God wants you to be the kind of person that God wants you to be, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word, and I thank you for your desire for all of us to be godly people, Lord, to be people who live the kind of life that you've called us to live, Lord, to look at the example of Paul, Lord, a man of God who faithfully served you and lived the life that you called him to live. And we want to desire to do that, Lord. We want to be who you've called us to be, whether we're fathers or whether we're just people. Lord, we want to be the men or women of God that you've called us to be, to have that genuine love to you, to walk the walk, Lord, to have a good work ethic, and more than anything, Lord, to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're living your life, not ours, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, that's my prayer for us today. May we be people who continue to seek to live your life and not ours, Lord. May you allow this word to penetrate our hearts. Those things, Lord, that you want us to pull from this word this morning, may you allow them to just speak to our hearts. And may we continue to grow in you and become who you've called us to be, Lord, to become the godly man or woman that you desire of us. We thank you for these things. We give these things to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.